You've tuned in to Mythbehaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical world, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. Navigating the fantastical with me today is the superrific Jen Nixon. Jen, how has the vastness of time and space impacted you this past week?
It's the middle of tax season, dude. I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But as a reminder, everyone, it's the middle of tax season. Do your taxes.
Do your taxes.
Oh, do your taxes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But it'll be a busy week, but it'll be worth it because it's a short period and it's over soon.
You know, we got and I remember how, like, years and years ago, one of Lil's friends was a CPA and is like, here, go to this firm and they will treat you right. And they have. And we have never had a more relaxed season in our lives. I love it. Like, it's so worth it to, like, here, you take care of all this nonsense.
That's great. That's great. I love it. So who do we have on the podcast this week?
I am so excited to introduce Marissa Byfield. Marissa was born in Oregon and grew up fascinated with mythology and mythical creatures. Her debut fantasy book, The Sawfall, a retelling of the goddess Diana the Huntress with a twist of lycanthropy, is published by Elysian Press with a sequel coming soon to follow. Marissa is an avid hiker, backpacker, and camper. She lives with her partner of 17 years and works at her local library and previously as an indie bookseller. Marissa, it is so great to have you on the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So excited to have finally talked to you. I feel like we've been like online friends forever.
Right? Yeah. You guys are my people. We're all published by the same press.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Elysian. Wonderful. Yeah, Elysian has been great to me. I don't know how your experience is, but
yes.
Elysian has been great to me.
Oh my gosh, phenomenal.
Good, good. That's good to hear. What was your experience? How did you find Elysian? How did you come to be published by them?
So I used the Writer's Market, which is, sure a lot of listeners probably know, is like the touchstone guide for authors looking to get published. And I just saw their listing there, and they've been an amazing group to work with. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, I don't remember how. I think I just found them like through somebody else on Facebook. That's how I originally found Mare. That's crazy.
And you, Jen, recommended Elysian to me.
Oh, I did.
Mm-hmm. That's how I found it.
Just like a networking guru. Yeah. Go me. Yeah.
I used to use things. It's funny that you mentioned the Writer's Market. What was that called? Writer's World Book? Writer's Market Book?
Writer's Market. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember buying that every year for like 5 years.
It was yeah. like a
the huge. They were start. Right. They were like a phone book, and like just spending hours and hours tearing through it trying to find a
right,
decent
yeah.
publisher that would publish me. Yeah.
And it's a small press. So, I mean, what makes small presses so unique, I think, is that they're really champions of stories that aren't mainstream or kind of done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great.
Yes, they don't have to go with what's trendy. I'm very anti-trendy stuff. I don't like trendy stuff.
And I find they have like more hand. They let the author be more hands-on with the whole process.
Definitely. Yeah.
Good.
That's awesome. So how do you get into your characters' heads when you're writing?
They sort of come to me. I think that it's an interesting process, but the first book really it was an experience I had where they've been kind of like with me my whole life, and in the second book it's a completely different kind of structure of storytelling. It's two points of view characters, whereas the first book is third person. So.
Okay.
Why did you switch?
I think it was easier to get into a more personal mindset and just be kind of not speak for my characters, but let them kind of speak for themselves. And it made sense for the kind of story that I was trying to tell in the second book.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah.
So you must have done a lot of research with the whole mythology thing. What was your favorite part?
Mythology is so malleable because it's expected to be retold. So in the first book we have Diana, obviously based on Diana the Huntress or Artemis in Greek myth, and Ames based on Orion. And my sequel introduces Maven based on Minerva or Athena. Instead of an owl companion, she has a raven companion.
Ooh.
And some other figureheads based in ancient Roman history crop up. My loose retelling is a way of sort of mythologizing the myths, truly to myth behave. And I,
Hello.
yes,
She
exactly.
said the word. She said the
Right. That's like a $5 bonus right there.
word. We said the name. And I wanted to, deconstruct the mythologies of these figures too. There's a scene in Echelon Rising, my book two, where Diana is faced with a statue of herself, kind of immortalizing her for her deeds. And there's some graffiti on it that says incorrectly, basically, she hates men. She's bitterly chaste and angry just because she's a strong female character.
Oh, how
And
timely.
yes, exactly. It's played off as funny, right? But there's an overarching theme to the book about how you can go through something, and people will talk about it, but not to you. And maybe our stories become misinterpreted and twisted, but they don't hear your side of the story. There's always more going on with someone than meets the surface. And my intent was allowing my characters to kind of be lovingly held up to the light by other characters, to be seen and known, and how healing that is. And wolves are highly misunderstood animals, so I love a good story about characters like that.
Oh,
That's awesome.
please tell us about wolves being misunderstood.
Oh, I would love to.
Excellent.
Yes.
I think I know where you're going with this, so please.
I remember when someone first read The Softfall and told me. I was surprised that that was your style of writing, that it was written in that way. And of course, I was like, "What do you mean that way?" And she meant it was unexpected. Like, I think if people pick up a werewolf book, they expect it to be a fluffy read, pun intended. Right? Werewolves are kind of silly territory, I think, especially if you get into the fated mates and the alpha pseudoscience or the wacky transformations on TV.
Not my favorite.
Right. And here I have my characters exploring their traumas, some dark themes, and it's a speculative fantasy that came from this really intense place. So processing emotions is what enables the characters to connect with their full selves, their wolf counterparts. And I just wanted to write a main character's coming of age story where she's been repressed for so long, she's just gonna go fucking feral. I don't mean in the
Nice.
angry sense, but just that, but breaking free of those confines as well. And lone wolves are much more likely to die without a pack. So my characters being brought together from completely different backgrounds and they become a family, find some hope in a bleak situation is a beautiful idea, I think.
Yeah, I find that I do that a lot in my books too. I bring characters together. I don't know why, but maybe it's just easier to write it that way. I don't know. I find that, yeah, okay, oh, these two are getting together, and then nope, oh, another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, now they're it's like they're the Fast and the Furious at the end.
Oh
Oh,
yeah.
it's family,
We
family,
family,
it's
my guilty
family.
pleasure.
Yeah, I
The
do like
family.
when folk get it wrong and then things start getting accomplished. I think that's kind of my overarching goal. So I don't know if that's the same for both of you. But that's kind of where I trend in that direction. Like, there's the storming and everybody's coming together and figuring out their positions, and then they can start performing. Like there can be actual progress
Right.
made.
Yeah, you got to break them and break them and break them and break them. And then you can then everything can turn around. Just got to break them first.
A lot of breaking.
A lot of
Writers are
breaking.
so mean to their characters.
Well, that's because that's what readers want. They want they that's what they want. That's what we give them.
It's kind of like D&D. You need to form your unit, your cohesive unit of people with their different strengths.
And figure out how to play together.
Right. Yeah. And when you're writing, do you listen to any music or do you like it silent?
A little bit of both. It sort of just depends on my mood at the time. I can't do coffee shops, I've
No.
realized. Yeah. Something about it.
Is it too easy to like people watch?
Yeah, yes, that's it, I think. Yeah, too much stimulation, kind of in the environment.
Yeah. I don't know about Jen, but it wouldn't work for me. Like it's
Me
too
either.
much. I want to get involved in conversations, and that's not my usual. Like I don't go to a coffee shop to talk to people. Like, but if I'm sitting there long enough, I'm like, well, I own this place now. Talk to me.
Yeah, I have a little bit of music on, sometimes really low, and I kind of like it quiet these days. I'm getting old.
Yeah, all of us are. Marissa, when you were working on the first book, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Oh yeah, like yeah. I think the thing is that none of us at the end of the day, it's like almost like we're not truly satisfied with, like, we could keep going on it, with our books if we had all of the time in the world. But yeah, I mean, looking back, it I don't know, I suppose I would, but at the same time, it's a reflection of like how I was writing at the time, and my second book shows the growth as well. So it's a bit of, I mean, it's a bit of both. Yeah.
I have a cousin who's kind of like an aunt, and because she's my mom's age, and she's a writer. And she told my mom, you know, everybody's got one book in them, but the real writers have two. And I was like, what does that mean? What are you on about? And then I wrote one book. I'm like, oh, yeah, one book. And then I wrote the second one. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like the
Yeah.
growth between book one and getting it published and going through the editing process and then, you know, coming back around again. Oh, all right, two. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not a slam on folk who have one book. Just, it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And they can be very different too. Like, I think it's good to have consistency, obviously, in the narrative, but my first book, there's like a quiet, wistful quality to it. It's about a dark forest and a mysterious wolf pack. It's folkloric. And your first book always feels a little precious, as many authors know. But my sequel in progress, Echelon Rising, I've given myself more permission to get weird with it. It's, it's
Nice.
demigods being imperfect. It's marching into battle. It's apocalyptic. It has a bit more chaotic energy, a bit more bite.
And
Nice.
is the scope bigger? Is the world bigger?
Oh yeah. And more characters too, you know.
This episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine, handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers. Scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names, the Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. In honor of our second year with the Diva Lab is sending me a super secret new product to try. Because of how all these great products make me smell, in a good way, I can't wait to try this one out and report back. You can try all the Diva's creations at www.bathbombdiva.com. And thanks again to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show.
How
What
do you
was
keep?
oh, sorry, go ahead, Jen.
I was gonna say, how do you keep track of a lot of characters? Because I find sometimes sometimes I have to scale it back. As much as I think I want to write an ensemble, I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah, I did have to cut an entire character from the second book because I found a plot hole, and I just sort of, I think I just sat for like 3 days in a cathartic or like a
Yeah.
state of,
Shock.
I need to figure this out. So
Yeah.
yeah, that happens.
Oh, it happened. Yeah. What did, so I'm curious, did you go somewhere to figure it out? Did it just figure itself out? Like the shower is a weird place for me to figure things out, but apparently that's where I figure things out. Like I've had more breakthroughs for novels in the shower than anywhere else.
Oh yeah. No, this was the kind of plot hole that was I had to literally just think and just sit, just stare into the
Stare at the
abyss.
screen, magic
Yeah.
words come to my
Right.
page.
It was tough, yeah, but we got through it.
And
That was
what did you do with the character?
I had to scrap it
Ah,
entirely.
just
Yeah, I
gone.
felt so bad
Gone.
for them. I was like,
Oh.
but
Oh
it
no.
happens. Yeah, it
Yeah.
really does.
Yeah.
It does. You can save them for a different story, a short
Right.
story on the side quest.
Yeah, I could see that.
It'd be a good idea. I always recycle characters that don't get a finished book. I have like probably like six or seven really good unfinished characters that are in stories that just didn't work that I'm definitely going to recycle somewhere somehow eventually.
So I think all writers do, and so I'm going to ask Marissa, is that true? Do you have like unfinished, snippets of stories you started and never got back to, books that you started that only got a few hundred or maybe a few thousand words in, that kind of thing?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I think I have some. Really, what I did was when I edited my first book, at least I had kind of sticky notes of things. I would make notations for each passage that either I felt worked or didn't. And so I'm pretty sure I have like a file of those somewhere. Just a whole bunch of them. And they're
Nice.
color coded.
Ah, just super organized.
I am so not organized. I literally write notes on the back of unopened mail. Okay. That is me. I'm like chaotic good writer or one of those weird words.
Chaotic good. Sure you are, Jen.
Sure.
I think that's the librarian in you, Marissa, coming out. It's
Oh,
gotta be
absolutely.
organized. Like you got a file.
Yes.
She's got a whole card catalog set up. Like, oh,
Right.
it must be organized.
Yeah.
That's
So
fun.
do you plot? Are you a plotter?
I'm definitely a plotter, a nefarious schemer, if you will. Editing
Oh,
is
I
my
love
favorite
that.
part. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah, and my first book was workshopped chapter by chapter in a local writing group. So I was very fortunate to do that. And my husband is always my last editor. He's halfway through reading Echelon. And I will say he's notoriously impossible to surprise. And this book, because it's such a twisty one, I told him, you will not guess the ending. You will not. So we'll see.
Nice. Oh, okay.
All right.
I was hoping you were going to
Exciting.
say, and he didn't, but we don't know yet.
Don't know
So
yet.
we're on the edge
Stay
of our
tuned.
seat now.
Stay
You'll have to
tuned.
come back when the book drops, and then we'll find out what happened. So, okay. We don't know
I
now.
have a good question for you, Marissa. Do you read any other books while you're writing your own?
Absolutely, yeah. The tricky part is I think with fiction, I can get a little bit. I start a book and I can not quite finish it, and then I do it again with other books, and so I think it's hard to stay focused on other writing, but I do try. I try to mostly focus on style and what worked for this scene in particular. I think that's how everyone gets inspiration, really, is through other writing. No one is an island, so.
Will
Yep.
you read your genre, or will you read a different, like I won't read my genre if I'm working in the genre. Like I don't like I
Oh,
certainly read
yeah.
my genre, but and I'm influenced by it. But when I'm writing, I don't want any like subconscious accidental leakage from what I'm
Yeah.
reading to end up. So,
Yeah, you don't want the wires crossed. Yeah.
right.
I completely understand that. Yeah. And sometimes, I'll just read poetry because I think that helps too, with sort of, I don't know, just getting feelings and emotions. It helps me sort of get it out onto the page a little bit better.
And who do you
Nice.
read?
I really love Rilke, the poet Rilke, Rainer Maria. I find a lot of I for my first book especially, it really helped me create kind of that feeling that I was going for. He's very like introspective and very just just quiet, and it just helped me with that a lot, because I find that my process is really, it requires a certain extent of hermitage. And he writes about that a lot. I wouldn't have finished my first book without the solitude that I had, and the lack of distractions, I think. So,
Yeah. It's good to have minimal distractions when you're working on something tough, for sure.
right.
Do you write somewhere specifically, or does it not matter? Like you know where you need, like you can't write in a coffee shop, but do you have an office that you're like, yeah, this is it, or you can write like in front of the TV or?
Yeah, I am. I mostly just write at home, and my first book, I mostly finished. My desk was actually an old, like, vintage Singer sewing machine,
Oh
and
yeah.
I had a little, like, sort of a shrine to Artemis on right next to that for
As one does,
inspiration.
right? As one
Yes, you
does.
know.
Yeah.
My little pagan shrine, and so that kind of helped me with like getting a feel for things. And I also write a lot in nature, I think, because that especially helped with the feelings I was going for in the first book, being lost in a forest.
Yeah, just
Nice.
get that real life feeling going.
Yeah.
And do you have any genres you want to try out in the future? Be a little experimental with?
I mean, not particularly. I think fantasy is where I want to stay, pretty firmly. I would consider writing outside of the lines a little bit, but for now, fantasy is where I'm at.
Nice.
And who do you love in fantasy right now?
Oh wow. That's a great
Everyone, just
question.
every like
Yes.
who don't you love? Who is we
Well, if you like Greek mythology retellings, you might like Madeline Miller. Be familiar with her. I wish I wrote like her. Ursula Le Guin is another
Of course.
favorite. She's also based in Oregon. She's just a treasure. I
Yes.
love Octavia Butler, Brandon Sanderson,
Of
Peter S.
course.
Beagle, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, your name, yeah, you're just checking all the boxes.
Checking all the boxes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Very good. And if you had to put your stories in a medium, let's say, anime or live action movie or TV show, which one do you think would be the best?
That is a great question too. I think every author sort of imagines their book as a film, probably. So especially with marketing, I will say that I like video editing, so I make book trailers. I think a good visual clip can really grab people. So I do that a lot. I'm mostly active on Instagram, and it lends itself well to visual content. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's
Nice.
very true.
What about the TikTok? Have you ventured over there? I have not. I don't think I'm going to touch that one.
Yeah, everybody's having such good luck over there. I'm honestly debating going back there, but not
That is
showing
true.
myself. They say you don't have to show yourself. You can just put up clips of your books. You got to find the right hashtags. And I'm like, all right, after tax season, I'll think about it. Can't focus on it until after tax season, at least.
The horrors of reality.
Yeah, so that'll be my summer task, I guess, for promotion, because we all have to promote.
I'm looking forward to you being on TikTok personally.
You won't
I'm
see me on TikTok
very well,
ever.
but I'm looking forward to watching,
The clips I make.
yeah, either the success or the train wreck. Like I'll go
The
either way with you. Let's see where this goes. I can't wait.
Yeah,
Like,
let's see where it
because
goes.
then we'll all
Well,
learn from your bravery.
exactly. Well, I was there. I still have an account. I just haven't posted in probably like a year or so. I will keep you posted.
I have the same problem with Threads. I can never remember I have a Threads account.
Yeah, I'm
Like,
same as I have Blue Sky, and I think I was there last time last month.
yeah, that one I'm better at. I'm really good on Instagram, but yeah, Blue Sky is next down on the list. And then I never remember Threads. That's so funny.
Yeah, I know. It'll all be different in 5 years
Oh
anyway.
yeah, exactly. We'll
Something
all be talking
completely
about Silver Tab or something. I don't know.
new.
Marissa, what is your what marketing success? What one thing have you found that is successful marketing for you?
Oh, I think just so I was a bookseller for many years, at an independent bookstore, so you kind of get to see a little bit of that firsthand. And I think really just just going where your audience is, or thinking like your audience, like what would I want to read, if I was on this platform, and like how does that work exactly? So I prefer trying to find more creative ways to reach an audience that way. And yeah, I find that it's difficult to be genuine sometimes. So I mean, like, I've done kinds of things like follow for follow, and you end up following lots of people whose work you necessarily wouldn't read.
Or a bunch of authors that just don't network and don't share and just wanted you to follow them. And I'm like, why did I do this? Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no
Been
one
there.
size fits all formula.
Nope.
So it really, you have to try everything.
Yeah, that was my when I went to Instagram, that was what I did differently. Like on Twitter, I followed everyone, right? And like an idiot, right? And no, that I that
No.
works, it works, but it didn't work for me. Like it was like follow for follow backs or whatever. And I'm like, okay. But on Instagram, I'm like, no, if you like my content, you'll follow me. And if you're just here for a follow back, then you'll leave. And that's how it will be. And I've found that personally to be successful for me. I have no idea if I'm selling books, but I've grown the organically into thousands of followers. And that's not a brag. Like I'm not tens of thousands and I'm certainly not an influencer. Like I have no idea how many people actually look at my stuff,
Right.
but I definitely did it differently, and I felt better about the content I was posting. So
Yeah. Yeah.
that's just me.
I'm Twitter ride or die. I'm there
I
till
know
it's
you're gonna watch
dead.
it sink, huh?
Sink with it.
Right. I
Never
jumped
gonna
off.
call it X.
Marissa, are you on Twitter? Are you on X?
I was on Twitter. I abandoned the ship when it's when it started to become what is
A
now
little
X.
a little
Yeah.
fiery, a little it started to smell a little bad, so
It's still
oh,
trash, but I love
right, like every
it.
now and then I'm like, oh, it would be fun to post this, but then I'm like, but then I know what people would say.
But we need people like you on there, so Jen.
I'm keeping guard, don't worry.
Yeah.
Jen fights everybody, die, Awesome.
It's not so bad being a Knicks in there these days, it's okay.
Oh, that's right. I guess you do have that going for you, huh? Did you look at my name? Look at my name.
That's great.
Well, Marissa, it has been so lovely having you on here. I do have one final question for you. I have not asked this in a while. It used to kind of be my go-to question, but I didn't want it to be a go-to question. So, but what I want to know is, which one of your characters would you go to dinner with?
Oh, I'd have to choose Ram, I think, because he's just such a warm character. Kind of treats everyone, as a friend. You feel welcome with him. So, I think, and he brings everyone of my characters together in the first book, and he takes them all like on this journey together, and his. Yeah, I just think I it would be nice to sit with someone who is like that. So, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Like the conversation would be cozy.
Yes.
I love it. Excellent.
Very cool.
Well, Jen, we've done it again.
Another awesome
An
interview.
excellent interview. Marissa, we have so enjoyed having you on. Please let us know when, and say the name of the title again.
It is Echelon Rising.
Echelon Rising.
Working
I was
title.
good. Working title. Okay. When you get the title all worked out and it drops, please let us know. We will have you on because I do want to hear the end of the story of if your husband figured it out or not. I think
Yes, me
that's
too.
important for everyone. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. It's been a dream come true.
Thanks, everybody, and we will close here. Goodbye.